I'm short. May it please the court. I'm Gina Weitzenkorn, and I represent the appellant in this case, Genevieve Obremski, who was formerly known as Genevieve Williamson. This is a domestic relations case. What we're asking for is that the order of the court concerning retirement benefits be reversed. Permanent orders were entered in this case on April 19th of 2001, and permanent orders very specifically say that father, who is the appellee in this matter, pension retirement benefits shall be equally divided between the parties as set forth as per the time rule formula set forth in Colorado Revised Statutes 1410.113, 6C, Roman numerals 3C. That order was entered many years ago, and that order stands today. It was never appealed. It was never modified by agreement of the parties. In 2007, the appellee, who had 17 years in the United States Army, began to receive temporary disability retirement list benefits. The permanent orders that were issued in 2001 did not specify what kind of retirement benefits. It didn't specifically say other than his benefits that he would receive as a result of his military benefits would be shared between the parties pursuant to the time rule formula. The issue of whether retirement benefits received through the military are marital property is well settled in Colorado under Colorado law.
Well, at the time the order was entered, it was also well settled, wasn't it, that the type of retirement benefits to which a spouse was entitled were permanent retirement benefits, where a military service person had at least 20 years of service.
That is not our understanding, and that it's not correct. What the court was saying at that point was, in which the parties again were under the understanding, was that any retirement benefits that he received, there was nothing that specifically states, and I think you, Judge Graham, that you really have hit the nail on the head as far as some of the issue here. There are, in fact, more than one type of retirement benefits we know that you can receive from the military. There's not only the longevity benefits, which you referred to, but there are temporary disability retirement list benefits and permanent disability retirement list benefits. But there was nothing in that order that specified it to the type of retirement benefits that you just asked about.
Although the court here in the current order clarified that.
That was his, that was what he determined what the intention was. But in fact, the order of 2001 is broad, and it did not specify, I'm only talking about longevity benefits. And frankly, if that's what we were talking about, then that's something that should have been obviously specified at that time so everyone would be under the understanding. Or in fact, if one party thought it was an issue at that time, then there should have been a clarification then. But clearly that's not what was done. And what the court said is whatever pension retirement benefits he would receive would be shared between the parties. And the benefits he is receiving now under federal law are retirement pay, retirement benefits. And therefore, based on the 2001 order, it is our position that those are benefits that must be shared between the parties pursuant to the time rule formula.
Pardon me, counsel. It's pretty clear that as far as longevity benefits are concerned, the pertinent federal statutes say these can be divided with spouses. That's clear.
That is.
However, for these particular type of disability statutes, doesn't the federal statutory system say that these cannot be divided with spouses?
No. There is case law, the Mansell case, for example, that says Veterans Administration disability benefits cannot be divided. And we're not taking issue with that at all. But there is no law that says retirement benefits based whether they're TDRL or PDRL, cannot be divided. And in fact, when you look at the case law, it talks specifically about disposable retirement pay being something that can be divided. And if you look at the federal law, and I have to say that when you look at the federal statutes, it is something that is somewhat complicated to look at. But when you look at the federal law, and we're talking about starting with Chapter 61 of Title 10 of the U.S. Code, it specifically says that there are two independent paths when military personnel can retire. There's one path with separation, and there's one that talks about retirement for physical disability, and it talks about the PDRL and the TDRL.
Could you, in this context, could you please address 10 U.S.C. Section 1408A4B?
That is the act that specifically talks about what benefits can be divided, Section 1408. And it specifically says that retired pay can be divided. That was something that was specifically set forth in the federal statute. It does not, though, say specifically what retirement, and it does not say that PDRL or TDRL cannot be retired. It talks about retirement pay that someone receives. Retirement pay is, in fact, designated through and determined through sections 1202 is TDRL, section 1201 is PDRL, and 1203 is the section. When you look at being placed on TDRL, it specifically says, the federal statute, that in order to get those benefits, it requires that the member, being the military member, be eligible for retirement under section 1201 or section 1201, 1202, etc. Therefore, there is nothing in 1408, and there's no case law that I can find on that issue that specifically says that these benefits cannot be divided pursuant to in a divorce action. And again, I think this is an issue of first impression that we have not found it. But when you look at, for example, the computation of TDRL benefits, the computation is based on the same formula as any other military retirement. And in fact, in order to get these benefits, there are thresholds that need to be met. Not only a disability requirement, but there is a threshold of 8 years of service. And once you meet those, you were retired from the military under TDRL, and you're assumed to be retired. When you look at all of the documents, it specifically talks about retirement pay, retired pay. The statute talks about retired pay. And the order of the court that was issued specifically talks about the retired pay being divided. The reason retired pay and the reason we have the time rule formula is because there is an acknowledgement that those are benefits that are received as a result of time that has happened during the marriage. And that's why in the marriage of Hunt case, we look at the time rule formula to divide these. These benefits are benefits that Mr. Williamson is receiving based on his time in the service, and therefore Ms. Abramski should receive her portion of those.
Excuse me. Go ahead. But counsel, isn't they also receiving these benefits because of an after occurring event, the onset of his multiple sclerosis? So in other words, yes, he has to have been in the military for 8 years, but at the time of the marriage, he apparently was not suffering from multiple sclerosis, at least not to the point that it would have interfered with his ability to do his duties.
That's correct.
But subsequently, he either acquired the disease or it got bad enough that he could not perform his duties. And isn't that an after separation act, which really differentiates that between what we can expect of retirement, standard longevity retirement?
Not necessarily. Because people may be married, it may be a retirement benefits through the military or somewhere else, where someone decides to retire at for example, retirement may, can happen at 55 or 62 or something, and someone may decide to take their retirement because of something that happened, whether it's a physical disability, a mental disability, or some other reason. And the fact that that's when they happen to retire may affect the amount of benefits because the years may be less or more. But that's not something that's unique to a case like this. That can happen whether the person retires for longevity reasons or any other reason.
Had he separated from the service at 17 years without being disabled, he would have received nothing.
That's correct.
And so you don't dispute that what he's receiving today is disability?
It's disability retirement pay. There is no question that if, in fact, he had just decided to leave the military at 17 years, that he would not be getting any benefit.
Disability retirement pay unrelated to longevity?
Yes. Therefore, and again, I just want to briefly and save my time, go to the issue of Mr. Williamson's attorney's fees request. There is no law on this. There is nothing that, again, as the trial court said, this is an issue of first impression. There is nothing to indicate this is a frivolous claim. If you look at the record, because one of the issues was child support, the party's income, neither of them had income of any substantial amount. And there is nothing to indicate that 1410.119, which has a review of the party's income and assets, would indicate that an attorney's fees based on financial resources of the parties would be appropriate. Thank you for the time. We're asking that the order of the court be reversed, and I have 3 minutes I'd like to reserve.
Good morning. My name is Gary Pulitzer. My registration number is 22019. I believe that the issue presented by wife's appeal is quite narrow, and that issue, the way I see it, is our temporary disability retirement list benefits, post-decree income, and the separate property of the disabled soldier, or are they pension slash retirement benefits subject to division pursuant to the court's order? And I think that you have focused on the correct issues this morning so far, which is, number one, case law so far to date shows us that what is marital property is longevity benefits. When someone has 20 years of service in, those are the kind of benefits that the court can divide between parties. This benefit is a temporary benefit. Mr. Williamson is on a list of people who may be retired if his disability is deemed to be permanent, of a permanent nature, but it's unforeseen at this point as to whether he will continue, whether his condition will stabilize, or whether it won't and he'll need to be retired at that point. There's a misconception that there's an 8-year requirement to receive TDRL benefits. That is not accurate. In order to figure out what you need, how you become eligible for the TDRL benefits, we look at 10 U.S.C. 1202. And that has very limited requirements for eligibility. First of all, the member must be one who's described in Section 10 U.S.C. 1201C. And under that statute, 1201C tells us that the member must have 30 days of service. So in order to be eligible for TDRL benefits, you have to have worked for, in the armed services for 1 month. The other way you become eligible, or the other requirements, are that that you have a disability that has not yet been determined to be of a permanent nature and stable. So someone who's been working for the Army for 2 months and becomes has come down with multiple sclerosis would be entitled to the benefits just in the same way that Mr. Williamson, with his 17 years of service, is eligible. It's the same 30 days for both of them. There's no 8-year requirement. What counsel's referring to for 8 years for that is the permanent disability retirement list, and that's the 10 U.S.C. 1201. So there really is no longevity whatsoever related to TDRL. And in that sense, this is a pure disability benefit. And as such, Colorado has a long history of protecting those benefits and awarding those as separate property to the disabled soldier. Before I go further, I would like to make a correction to my brief. I have miscited a case, which is the Marriage of Green. The correct site of that is 169 Pacific 3rd, 202. And I apologize for that error. Mr. Williamson is on this temporary disability list, and he can only be on the list for 5 years. He must be evaluated every 12 to 18 months so that the Army can determine whether his condition is stabilized and he can return to work, in which case his benefits would cease, or at that point, if his condition is stabilized and it's determined to be permanent, he could be separated from the military, and at that point, he would become eligible for the permanent disability retirement list. These benefits compensate him for the interruption of and the inability to continue in his military career. He's not receiving benefits because he was in the military for 8 years or any length of time except for the 30 days. He's receiving it because he can't work right now. And as such, I believe that Judge Warner was correct in his analysis that this is a temporary replacement of his income until his condition is deemed to be stable. He remains subject to military discipline. He could be discharged from the Army for cause at this point in time. He can resume his service if his condition improves. So all these factors taken together tell us that this is not a retirement in the traditional sense. And we can certainly agree, I believe, that the Army uses some strange language. Putting someone on a temporary disability retirement list, I don't know why they include the word retirement in there. The expert at trial said it's because that allows Mr. Williamson to get TRICARE health benefits.
You mean I could retire for the evening, but I'm not retired?
That's correct, Your Honor. You can retire and then unretire tomorrow. And if you're on the TDRL, that's what you can do. Can you unretire? It seems to me that when you retire, period. You put in a certain amount of years of work. In this instance, it's 20 years for the military. And when you retire, you're finished. You can't unretire, as far as I know. Ms. Obremski is seeking a portion of these TDRL benefits, claiming that they are part of the pension / retirement benefits. But Judge Warner, in denying that request, found that these benefits were temporary and more akin to a replacement of income than a vested retirement benefit. And he astutely noted that he viewed the issue presented here as tantamount to a probate court litigating a will once a testator is diagnosed with a terminal illness. He obviously recognized that this request for a division of these benefits is premature. Because they are disability benefits, and our courts have a long history of protecting disability benefits of injured workers. You've seen the cases in my brief that I've cited concerning police officers, corrections officers, et cetera. I'd like to talk about 10 U.S.C. 1408, because Judge Bernard, you focused on that. I believe you talked about A4B, and I believe that you are correct that statute precludes the court from dividing any disability benefits, and the computation of what is disposable income, what is not disposable income, it's extremely confusing. But I believe that 10 U.S.C. 1408 A4B takes all disability benefits, and I think we can agree these are all disability benefits, and says you cannot divide these. State courts cannot divide these. It tells us that the state courts can treat disposable benefits as either separate property or marital property. And so I'm not quite sure how this computation works or how the Army sees it to work. But I believe that even if this, even if the court would determine that the formula, the TDRL benefits result in some disposable income being available, this court has the authority to say that's still a separate property because it's all the result of his disability.
So under 10 U.S.C. 1408, your position would be that if the disability developed at 18 years, then the mother would get nothing. But if he developed a disability after 20 years and just retired for longevity, then the property would be divided?
Well, if Mr. Williamson had worked for 20 years for the Army and then become disabled, and he was still working for the Army, and then they retired him under that scenario, he could concurrently receive longevity benefits and disability benefits. The disability benefits would be strictly his. The longevity benefits would be divided. But you have to have 20 years of service to get those concurrent benefits, because you can't get longevity benefits without 20 years of service. Does that answer your question?
Well, basically, it's what your position is, but I was just wondering how the statute works. So you think that the statute, basically, 1408, cuts off disability even if it occurs at 18 years instead of after 20?
I do. I think that, any disability benefits that are awarded are considered to be non-disposable income and therefore not subject to division by any court.
Well, Mr. Pulitzer, as I understand it, to take that example, 18 years and a person's disabled, the veteran or the military person themselves, they're cut off from longevity pay. If they are permanently disabled, they may be subject to permanent disability pay, but they also lose their 20-year retirement pay if they don't stay in 20 years.
That's correct. If they're disabled at 18 years and the Army deems that they cannot work, they can never qualify for that longevity benefit. That's absolutely correct. The appellant has focused on a couple of things that I think are of note, which is that the Army uses the broad term retired pay to describe both disability benefits and pension benefits. The permanent orders here refers to pension retirement. And counsel indicated that the court awarded all of retirement benefits of any nature. And I think that would be too broad a reading of the order, and I think it would also be a departure from not only federal law but Colorado state law and case law. And so I think that we need to read that more narrowly, which in the traditional sense of term, that when the court divided pension / retirement benefits, it was dividing longevity benefits in the realm of the marriage of Hunt and the Gallo case, those 20 year cases where cases where there was 20 years of work put in and longevity benefits.
Mr. Pulitzer, could you explain why it would be incorrect to view this type of retirement benefit as being like a longevity retirement benefit, which is triggered by disability, instead of longevity? Do you see what I'm saying?
No, if you could.
I think that there's a way of looking at it. This money is based on a disability, but I think you could also look at it conceptually as being a type of retirement which is triggered by disability before the 20 years instead of triggered by longevity after the 20 years. And if that's incorrect, could you explain why?
Well, I think that this is purely a disability benefit because the only reason that Mr. Williamson receives anything is because of his disability. They don't take into account how many years of service he has and put that into any kind of a computation. They strictly look at his the amount of his pay and take a percentage of that based on his percentage of his disability. And so whether he worked for 18 years or 15 years or 14 years, those numbers of years don't come into the computation whatsoever. They're strictly looking at his disability. But for his disability, he couldn't retire at 17 years. If he left the Army now, he would get nothing. He can't say, I want to retire now, you know, thank you for the 17 years, but I would like to step aside and do something else. The Army would say, or the Armed Forces would say, well, thank you for your service, and we owe you nothing. So in that regard, I think that this is just purely a disability benefit, as in any other occupation where someone would get a disability benefit. I'm not sure that I answered your question, but that's... I would like to talk about the and direct your attention to the case of Marriage of Franz, which is cited in my brief. And in that case, this court remanded that case back to the trial court and said, on remand, the trial court was directed to determine whether husband's pay was marital property subject to division under 10 U.S.C. section 1408. And the court stated, in doing so, the trial court must consider whether the pay is based and computed on husband's disability. And I think in this case, it's clear that 100% of Mr. Williamson's benefit pay is based and computed on his disability and nothing more. And as a result of that, I think it falls under 10 U.S.C. section 1408 as his non-disposable income, and I think that courts are precluded from dividing that. I see that my time is about up. I thank you for your time and consideration of the case.
Ms. Weizenkorn?
Pursuant to the Franz case, the court ruled that disposable retirement pay is marital property to be divided. It's Ms. Obremski's position that only the disposable retirement pay and the whole computation of pay in the military setting is very complicated. And the more I look at it, the more complicated it seems to me. But all Ms. Obremski is asking for is the part of that pay that's disposable retirement pay. When you look at the U.S. Code, it talks about how you compute the pay, and part of the TDRL and PDRL is clearly under the federal statute disposable retirement pay. Addition, two things I want to say very briefly because we don't have much time is retirement is always, in a sense, a replacement of income. When people retire, they stop getting their salary or commissions or whatever it is they're earning, and they use that retirement, whether it's a military retirement, para, money they've put aside. That is what retirement. So to say that's something unique in this case, I think, again, we need to take a step back and say that's what happens when you get some retirement. You're not getting your income, and that's what it's there for, and it's something you earn based on depending on if your employer's giving it to you, the military, the state of Colorado, or something along those lines. And frankly, you can at times retire and then unretire. People do that based on their circumstances, based on what is going on with their lives. And so again, I think when we look at this and say, this is really different, it's really not. It has some of the same characteristics as any other retirement. And frankly, when you look at the U.S. Code and it calls it retired pay, the forms call it retirement, that indicates what the intent was. And if you look at the statute, the difference between TDRL and PDRL has to do with whether there's a determination of whether the disability is permanent or not. The criteria for how much your disability rating is determined by the military, your years of service, that's all the same. Those are the two differences.
But there's been no such determination here.
Of permanent, right.
And for purposes of analogy, this is a defined benefit plan.
I think that
Army pension is a defined benefit.
Absolutely.
If you leave at 19 years, you get nothing.
Absolutely. On a longevity plan, yes. And therefore, that's why there is nothing to indicate that this should be treated differently, and we're asking again that the court's order be reversed. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Weissenkorn, and thank you, Mr. Pulitzer. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course. That concludes our docket for today, and the bailiff may announce a recess.
All rise. Court will be in recess, subject to call.